Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome back to FST on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're following us today, please do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. And Kevin is at the Kevin Walsh. If you want to call us, 844-843-6879. So thank you for listening to us, whether you found us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app or TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio. We're going to bring in somebody that knows all things Packer. This is Joe DeLuise. You can find him on Twitter at Joe_DeLuise, DALOISIO. Feel free to go to our Twitter feed as well to check that out. So, Joe, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. He's a former member of the DA show at CBS Sports Radio. He covers the Packers for Lombardi Ave. That's at Lombardi Ave for Fansided. So, I was reading an article that you had published a little bit earlier this month about the addition of Randall Cobb, and Randall Cobb was wearing this walking boot and everybody was very concerned about it, but it also speaks to how important he is seen in the offense now. Devontae Adams got paid. He's really seen as the number one guy. But with Jordy Nelson having left, one would assume that some targets are going to be spread, obviously, between the new addition and Jimmy Graham and Randall Cobb. I've always been a massive Randall Cobb fan, and to your point in the article, he's got the second most receptions out of the slot in the entire league in the last four seasons. I'm probably only bested by Julian Edelman. So how important is he really to this offense taking it to another level?
Yeah, Cobb's success this year and his ability to stay on the field is huge for the Green Bay Packers and for the 2018 seasons. I mean, not only for his production, but for what he provides off the field as a leader. Obviously, they lose Jordy Nelson. That's, you know, everybody knows Rodgers' favorite target. They need a new leader in terms of that wide receiving core. Like you mentioned, Devontae Adams, clear number one. No questions about that. Cobb has to be that number two guy. He needs to be on the field. He needs to be a leader. Without them, the depth behind those two wide receivers is very thin. Now, Cobb's stats may not jump off the chart when you're looking at them. I mean, if you look at last season's stats, and of course last season was a little bit of a different year because Brett Hundley played the majority of the games at quarterback. But if you look at his stats last year and then the stats the previous year with Rodgers, they were relatively the same. And again, they didn't jump off the chart, but he was reliable and an option that and someone that Aaron Rodgers could rely on. Other than Adams and Cobb, right now, you have no depth looking at the rest of the wide receivers. They just drafted three rookies. They have Michael Clark, who is a young guy that got some time, not much at all. Trevor Davis, and then your number three right now is looking to be Geronimo Allison, who just has over double digit reception. So the wide receiver position is very thin, and Cobb needs to be on the field.
Yeah, Randall Cobb right now in PPR leagues going 39th off the board. I'll tell you, I love the value that you can get in Randall Cobb in your fantasy drafts, and Joe just kind of backed me up on it. He's really going to be a bigger part of the offense than people suspect. I think people get scared away from players that have been injured or have not produced, say, last year or even the year before because they thought he'd be a little bit better, but I think right now you're going to get a lot of value out of Randall Cobb. So go ahead, Kev.
Joe, I want to ask you then about Devontae Adams because you mentioned Jordy leaving, and that was his favorite guy. Is there any concern that there could be anything other than Devontae being his guy. I think back to last season, you mentioned it was Brett Hundley's year, but when Rodgers was healthy, that week five game against Dallas, where he threw the back shoulder fade to Davante Adams, missed it, and went right back to it. And they looked to be in sync. And obviously with Rodgers as the quarterback, you feel great about anybody. But do you think that this could mean Davante Adams, we look at him as a top 10, maybe even a top five wide receiver for what could be coming for him this season?
No, I think Davante Adams' numbers are only going to go higher. Yeah. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. He's easily going to replace Jordy in terms of Rodgers as number one guy. The difference, though, now is with the addition of Jimmy Graham, it will open up everything else for the rest of the surrounding crew. So for Randall Cobb out of the slot, perhaps Ty Montgomery out of the backfield, or if they decide to move him to wide receiver. I think Davante Adams has truly proven to be the next big thing for Green Bay in terms of that position and the league overall. And the connection that those two have, Rodgers doesn't have with any other wide receiver on the roster.
Davante Adams' name has crept up with the elite receivers in the league. I think you put him right in that second tier. It's Brown and Julio and Beckham and probably DeAndre Hopkins is in there now, but then he's right there with Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, Davante Adams, Adam Thielen. Like, those guys are the next group, and I think people need to understand that a healthy Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are going to be a wicked combination. So
yeah,
go ahead.
And just to piggyback off of that point, I think the reason why it may not seem or he's recognized in the, you know, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr. category is he's just not as flashy as them. You know, he keeps to himself. He sticks to his business on the football field. And, you know, the yards after the catch, the size, the speed, the quick feet, he is a difference maker and will put up numbers this season.
I almost feel like he and Michael Thomas from the Saints are kind of attached at the hip, like their careers are on a similar trajectory, and we'll see how both of them produce. So, again, we're with Joe DeLuise. He's a fan-sided staff writer at Lombardi Ave, so go there for all things Packers. You get some good insight on Randall Cobb and Rodgers and the rest. So, big issue for fantasy owners this year is trying to sort out the Packers' three-headed monster at running back. Obviously, Jones is suspended for a couple of games, but Ty Montgomery didn't go anywhere, and people don't really seem to want to get anywhere near him. So give me a sense of what their roles are going to be.
See, that's where I kind of disagree with people in terms of Ty Montgomery's role. I think he has an opportunity here to be the most effective and have the biggest role out of all of the running backs. And the reason why I say that is because of his natural position wide receiver. I think he's going to, because of the Packers' thin wide receiver depth, I think he's going to, if you could still draft him as a running back in fantasy leagues, depending on the league, I know that was an issue. Is he considered a running back? Can you put him in a running back position or wide receiver position? I think he's going to have a lot more opportunities, pass catching opportunities out of the backfield. I also think he's going to have the opportunity to win back his job. I think going into camp, it's going to be an open competition between Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, and Montgomery. Of course, you mentioned Jones is suspended for those first two games, so that hurts him. But Williams is a tough runner. He's going to barrel through defenses, and I don't think he could go an entire game. Montgomery will change the pace. He's also very aggressive, very physical, but he's got the hands, and that'll definitely help in a PPR league. So I think Ty Montgomery really has the most value overall. And he may not be the purest runner out of that group, but he may be able to, you know, sprinkle in 60 to 70 yards on the ground with six or seven receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, so if you had to rank the three according to the number of touches, I don't want to do carries because Montgomery, I think, could catch way more passes than either of the other two. I could see him being at 50 catches by the end of the year. So if you had to rank the number of touches, you think Montgomery's still in first, then Williams, then Jones?
Yeah, I would say Montgomery, Jones, and Williams. The only reason why I'm not talking about Jones as much is, of course, he's going to be out for those first two games. I think right. Jones is speed and elusiveness and natural running ability definitely puts him ahead, but I think it's going to be running back by committee there, and Mike McCarthy is going to go with the hot hand.
All right, so Joe, then let me ask you about a Packer that I've targeted in an insane amount of draft where I had to stop drafting him because I had him in too many spots. It's Jimmy Graham. I really think that he could have an incredible season to the point where I thought he could be one of the guys. He might be the touchdown leader at season's end. I really do think that some people, though, counter with Rodgers doesn't typically use the tight end in that way. What is your outlook for Jimmy Graham and how he's going to help this team?
Well, I think the Packers are hoping that the third time's the charm when it comes to veteran tight ends. They've obviously have had trouble trying to replace JerMichael Finley, and you saw how explosive that offense once was when, you know, a prime JerMichael Finley was there, how he stretched the field, and how Rodgers used him a ton. You know, the last three, they brought in Jared Cook. He was okay. He produced in the playoffs, but overall, nothing special. Obviously, the disaster that was Martellus Bennett, which had higher expectations, and that did not pan out. And now Jimmy Graham, who, you know, he's coming off a season where he did score 10 touchdowns, but he only had 57 receptions, 520 yards. He's 31. He's going to be 32 later in November. He has the potential, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers there. Of course, though, at that age, he's got a lot of wear and tear in his body. I think he's going to be very, very effective, and I could see him creeping towards that double-digit touchdown, finishing up with double-digit touchdowns because of his red zone ability. I think he's going to be the guy that Rodgers is really going to go and look to when they're 20 yards or so within the end zone. He'll use Jimmy Graham somewhat more of a decoy, in my opinion, when they're further back on the field to open up other opportunities for the rest of the wide receivers. But in the red zone, he's going to be a monster.
So defensively, I think it's pretty obvious based on their drafting strategy what needed help. They got Jair Alexander at the end of round one and Josh Jackson in round two. Two very well-respected corners. Josh Jackson, for some people, even had a first-round grade. So they were pretty brutal the last couple of seasons in defending against the pass. Last year, the defense, I think probably in part due to the fact that Rodgers wasn't moving the ball down the field for them, they really struggled. They gave up the most points per drive in the entire league and had bad starting field position very often. So special teams ties into that too. So give me a sense. It's going to be tough to have two rookie corners in that rotation, but these are two talented guys, so they're going to have to take this pass defense to another level.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be a learning curve. They're not going to go on the field and it's going to be, you know, amazing right away. It's going to take some time because even behind them or with them, excuse me, I mean, the rest of the core is pretty young, but they draft Alexander, who's a physical corner, and he'll bring some attitude to this defense, which they really haven't had a guy that'll get in your face at the corner position. So that'll be a great addition. And Josh Jackson was a ball hawk. I mean, he led the nation in interceptions with Iowa. Now, there's concerns with both of them, obviously. Alexander with his injury history, and also Jackson with the fact that he's only done it once. So can he do it again and consistently at the next level? But I think the overall problem, and it was easy to point out based on how they struggled defending the pass and giving up points, but I think the overall problem was the pass rush and the lack of pass rush. I mean, this was the first time I believe they finished out of the top 10 in sacks since 2011. So, you know, if you give a quarterback time, I mean, this is the NFL we're talking about. They're going to – a wide receiver will eventually break around and get open. So the longer they have back there, someone's going to get open. So I think that was a huge issue, was not being able to get enough pressure on the quarterback, which, you know, allowed – somebody to sit back, whoever that quarterback may be, and find someone. I think bringing in Mike Pettine, new defense, new attitude, the addition of Wilkerson, they're not going to be great, but they're going to be good. They're going to be better than what they were.
Let me
to
ask
Joe's
you
point again, on, real quick, to Joe's point about the youth in the defensive backfield. Four of the top six players in this defensive backfield were drafted either this year or last year. That's Josh Jones, Kevin King, Jair Alexander, and Josh Jackson. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I wanted to just ask you then, you mentioned Muhammad Wilkerson, who I do think is a big addition for this team. It's not that long ago, 2015, 12 and a half sacks. He is only 28. There's a lot of talent here. He's in a new situation. What is your outlook for Muhammad Wilkerson? Because I think that he could be awesome for Green Bay.
I think this was Green Bay's best signing this offseason. I think it was a no-brainer with the 1 year. It was a prove-it deal. Muhammad Wilkerson was essentially run out of New York. I think we could all agree with that. Yeah. He needed to leave that situation. He needed to leave the distractions that were in the area. He's not going to have that in Green Bay. And he's reunited with his former defensive coordinator where he excelled. So here he is on a one-year contract. Like you mentioned, Kevin, 28 years old. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He has a great shot of doing that with Green Bay. And even if they don't win a Super Bowl, he wants to continue to play football. And this is an opportunity here where if he could, you know, get 7 or 8 sacks, maybe even double-digit sacks, where he's going to be able to get paid one last time. And I think that's the goal. I think he's really playing with a chip on his shoulder, and you're going to see that all year.
So selfishly, I have Kenny Clark in an individual defensive player dynasty league. Is Kenny Clark going to make any kind of a leap this year? Obviously, Mike Daniels there. He's kind of the guy that is the most popular of the group, and Muhammad Wilkerson we just spoke about. So can Kenny Clark make any noise this season?
I think with Mike Daniels and Muhammad Wilkerson, that only opens things up for Kenny Clark, who we've seen since he got drafted slowly but surely progress. You saw a lot of great things out of him last season. So I think with the addition of Wilkerson, I mean, Mike Daniels is Mike Daniels. I think it'll definitely open things up for Clark, and you could see him having an even better season than he did last year.
Yeah, I think you need those offensive tackles to stay healthy too. Bakhtiari and Bulaga are going to be really important for Rodgers, obviously based on his health and their health all in one. I think this offensive line is going to be a huge key for them to bust open this running game and keep Aaron Rodgers healthy, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think you say that about any offensive line. If you have no protection and your quarterback's constantly getting knocked around, you're never going to win. I mean, granted, you know, we've watched Rodgers quick release and get the ball out of his hands, make something out of nothing, escape the pocket, but it gets difficult. Rodgers is only getting older. He's coming off another big injury. He says he's changing his diet. He wants to try and be a play into his 40s, but he can't continue to sustain the hits or run around like he has. So that's going to be key. They're going to need to keep him healthy. And if not, I mean, we saw what just happened last season when the Packers had to rely on the backup.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Good stuff. We'll make sure that we put that interview out. It's Joe DeLuise from Fanside at Lombardi. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Good stuff from Joe DeLuise there. You can find him on Twitter at Joe_DeLuise, and it's spelled DALOISIO. So really good insight there from him. And, man, he confirmed my feelings about Randall Cobb this year. I'll admit, I've always been a fan of Randall Cobb, so I always have looked to have him. Had a couple of disappointing seasons, but you know, the 39th receiver off the board, wide receiver 4, I think he's definitely in the wide receiver 3 range. And if things, you know, the touchdowns could push him into wide receiver 2 range. But I like where you're getting him. You're not having to draft him as a wide receiver 3, but you're going to get that kind of production.
Yeah, I got a little distracted because I just saw a thing on Twitter that said Chris Carson is expected to open Seahawks camp as the number 1. With a question mark. It might just be beat reporters being beat reporters. So it just kind of pulled my attention away momentarily. But yeah,
as a quick aside on that, mm-hmm. That's a Pete Carroll thing.
Yeah, that's why you don't put too much stock into it.
he always used to, when he was at USC, they would have camp battles all the time. But if it was, if he thought it was a dead heat, it would go to the younger player at USC. He thought the veteran player, even if the guy was just a sophomore battling against a freshman, he thought that guy should have the experience to win the job outright. So if it was, if it was a tie or it was that close, he would give it to the younger player. So this is a little bit of motivation. I think, you know, it's good for Carson. Maybe Carson really earns that number one job through camp, or at least pushes it closer to a committee than it seems like at the surface.
Yeah, again, I just, it's just something that pulled my attention away. But to your point about Randall Cobb, I do think that he could be in for a terrific season. I mean, we have to remember that there was a point when everybody still knew that Jordy was the guy, Devontae was becoming the guy, and you still were drafting Randall Cobb to be a guy that you could probably start at your wide receiver three, maybe even a flex spot there. People were still excited about Jared Cook. Do not lose sight of the quarterback that you are basically adding when you draft one of these weapons. It is Aaron Rodgers. And right now, there isn't any type of debate. There's nothing stopping it. He is the second wide receiver on this team. So Randall Cobb could be in for a terrific season. I truly do believe that. He also mentioned the corners, you know, you like you asked him. I do think that as far as any team's first and second round pick, a combination, I don't know if any 1-2 punch will be more impactful to a team year one than Jair and Josh Jackson.
That's tough, though, in year one. I would agree with you if you said long term, because those guys could be starting opposite one another for a really long time, and they could be good. Clinton Haha Dix is the veteran safety now. They even drafted Kevin King in the second round last year. So they've known how bad their pass defense is, obviously. You draft three corners in 12 months, you know you got problems, and with very high draft picks. Those are two second-round draft picks and a first round. So it has been one of the worst pass defenses in the league. Do you remember, like, it? After they beat the Cowboys in that playoff game, he referenced Jared Cook. Joe did reference Jared Cook producing in the playoffs. He made that great catch, and they win on the walk-off Mason Crosby field goal. They got annihilated by the Falcons in the next game. Annihilated. And it happened to them in other scenarios, too. They were also injured by the time they got to that game. So I'm not going to pile on everybody, but they knew it. They knew once they lost to the Cowboys that they needed to draft, and they did. They drafted Kevin King and now and Josh Jones in the defensive backfield. So four defensive backs drafted in the last two drafts. So high. So they know what they need. And look, do I think it's going to fix itself this year? That would be a lot. Mike Pettine's a good defensive coordinator, though. And the addition of Muhammad Wilkerson is big. So they really have addressed those issues.
I think for the, as far as the expectations, one of the reasons why I'm not guaranteeing it anyway, but I think it could, is because they were, look, if you go through a lot of the consensus rankings, those were guys that were expected to go within the first round. And some people had them as corners, you know, with both in the top three. Denzel Ward was the other guy who you would see in the top three a lot of times. So to get both of them, and last year, you know, we can't make the argument that, oh, rookie corners, you know, they can't make it year one. Marshawn Lattimore and Tre'Davious White were two of the five best corners in football last year, just by some, you know, just by some different analytical numbers. So you can see that type of production, and something that you just mentioned right there, bringing in Muhammad Wilkerson, they're going to be able to get after the quarterback a little bit better, I think, this season. So I think it can make their job a little bit easier. Even if just one of them hits, I think that's a massive success. If they get both of them to, not to Lattimore, Tre'Davious White levels, but just to be playable corners, I think that's huge. I think it's huge.
Yeah, right now, Alec Alexander is slotted in as the nickel corner to start the season. So plenty of time between now and then. They haven't even reported to camp yet. Their rookies, I think, report today, and the vets are later this week. They're one of the latest reporting teams. So they also drafted a punter, and part of that reason is what I got into with Joe. They were 30th last week in average. Well, here's where they were 28th in starting field position offensively. They were 30th in starting defensive field position. So usually that means you got a punting issue or an offensive issue. It could be one hand washes the other. You know, their offensive numbers were way down, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers being out. They did average 4.5 yards per carry rushing the ball, something to consider. But they drafted a punter in the fifth round, J.K. Scott. He'll be their starting punter come, you know, basically when they report to camp. He's a rookie, so he's there today. So, again, keep in mind something to – and they drafted a long snapper too, which very few teams do. So I think they, to their credit, it's a new regime there. Remember, they went through a GM. So they made a GM change, the defensive coordinator change, a whole bunch of changes, and I think it's pointed in the right direction. I just don't know if it's enough to win the division this year because they're going up against a really tough Vikings team.
Well, I think one of the big things that could bode well for them is they have the easiest schedule in the NFC. And actually, by a bit of a margin compared to the rest of their division. So that could be huge for them. Their schedule after week 9, so weeks 10 through 17, is the second softest in the entire NFL. They have the luxury of playing the AFC East. This year, they play some of their tougher games at home with the Falcons. They'll see at home, which helps. I think the thing that jumps out, week 8, week 9, it's at the Rams, at the Pats. But they do have the bye week.
It's after a bye. That's right.
So that is big for them. If you can go 1-1 right there, you take that. And also, again, being able to see the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Cardinals, four teams that are projected to be top five. Now, maybe they won't all be, bottom top five in the draft, bottom five teams. That could be huge for the Packers. That could be maybe the difference maker for this team.
So to give you a sense of their schedule, starts off hosting the Bears, hosting the Vikings at Washington, Buffalo, at Detroit, San Francisco, bye week. So they have that's a Monday night game before the bye week. So it's a 13-day layoff before they go to the Rams and then go to New England. That's going to be brutal. That New England game coming off, you know, two fairly long road trips. Then they go soft landing at home against Miami, at Seattle, at Minnesota. Seattle, not an easy place to play, but we all expect Seattle to be down this year. Then it's Arizona, Atlanta at home, at the Bears, at the Jets, Lions. And who knows where the Bears, Jets, and Lions will be at that point. Mm. The Bears and Jets are just going to be battling it out as two teams that are out of the playoffs. So I think you got a lot of young players on that team that'll just be playing their tails off. But then the Lions, who knows where they'll be. I don't expect them to be a playoff team this year. So, but it's a rivalry game. But nonetheless, I think you're right. I think the schedule is helpful to them. And we'll see if they can improve upon where they were. Now, from a fantasy standpoint, right now, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's first one off the board in any of the drafts I've been in thus far. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson right behind him. Whoa, I'm looking at a new ADP right now. This is crazy because he's bounced around a little bit. Deshaun Watson's second. According to Fantasy Pros, Deshaun Watson is now the second quarterback being taken, and Tom Brady third and Russell Wilson fourth. It's insane to me. I mean, it's insane. But Aaron Rodgers is number one across the board. They aggregated ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, Fantrax, NFL.com, RT Sports, and FFC. So those are all the aggregated sites that are running drafts now, and they have Aaron Rodgers 1, Deshaun Watson 2, Brady third, and Russell Wilson fourth. So let's not get into the quarterback discussion now, but needless to say, Rodgers is 1. I think you take that to the bank. Let's go to Devontae Adams, which I think I said earlier. He is the 7th off the board. He's right behind Keenan Allen, right in front of A.J. Green. And in some projections, I've seen A.J. Green above him, but that's about where he's going. 6th to 8th wide receiver off the board, 6th to 9th. Mike Evans is 9th. I would take Devontae Adams over A.J. Green and Mike Evans. As much as I love A.J. Green, I just think that offense will continue to struggle, and I'll bet on the player with the better offense.
I think by that idea, right, the better offense. Not that I would. I'm not saying I would. But just to give people an idea, I think, of the situation he's coming into, I might be able to make the argument that Devontae Adams could be the second wide receiver off the board. I think Antonio is clearly one. But Odell is still there with Eli Manning, which, I mean, I know he's been successful before, but you'd rather have stock probably in Aaron Rodgers. Hopkins, we've seen him be great with any quarterback, but again, Watson coming off that injury. We just talked about earlier in the show that Julio maybe holds out for a little bit. And then who else would be was ahead of him? A.J. Green. I mean, that's Andy Dalton. That's an easy argument to win. Now, again, I wouldn't. I think that I would still take...
Not easy, though.
I would take Odell. Not an easy argument to win. I should say it's the argument that you make is I'm taking Aaron Rodgers, number one guy, who is a very talented wide receiver. You're right for correcting there. It's not an easy argument to win. But it's one you could make. Now, that's not to say take him number two. The point is, this is a really, really valuable player. I've heard Corey mention a lot of times that Davante Adams is someone that he will target at the back end of the first round if the board goes away where that makes sense for him. And I totally understand that. I think Davante Adams can have a massive season. He could lead the league in touchdowns. Absolutely could.
Davante Adams right now, according to those same statistics I was looking at from Fantasy Pros, is the 17th player off the board. And so in your 12-team league, you know, Corey's not far off. Right here, it says Beckham is going 11th, Gordon 12, Cook 13, Julio Jones 14, Michael Thomas 15, Keenan Allen 16, Davante Adams 17. Like, I'm not going to take Dalvin Cook there.
Yeah.
ACL, questionable offensive line. Davante Adams to me is more bankable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at that point, I'm going best player. I don't care if it's a running back. It doesn't have to be.
And I think
Davante Adams probably won't be my first player taken. But if I was on the turn and I got Melvin Gordon, this says Julio at 14th. So obviously I'm going to take Julio or even Michael Thomas. The Keenan Allen thing is interesting to me just because of his injury history. But, I mean, he did lead the league in catches last year. So I'm going to take him over Davante Adams. But it's crazy how much top-end talent there is.
I just want to say, right, we talked the other day about target shares. Last Rodgers season, 2016, 610 attempts. There was an extra 10 there that Huntley threw. But regardless, Jordy Nelson saw 152 targets. That year, Davante Adams saw 121. He's a much better receiver than what we saw that season, and Jordy Nelson is gone. So you can tell me that I was on the high end, right, when I said Doug Baldwin can get into the top five in targets. I think Davante Adams is a lock to be top five in targets in football this season. No?
Tough to say a lock, but he'll be right there, man.
Be bold, Mike. Be bold with me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but there's other guys there that I know are going to see a ton of balls. Antonio Brown and Julio, DeAndre Hopkins led the league in targets last year. Keenan Allen was right there. So I just ripped off all five that'll probably beat him out.
Who?
But
who are the ones that'll beat him out?
Antonio, Julio, Hopkins, Keenan Allen.
No.
I guess I didn't say Odell. But Odell and Michael Thomas would be there too. I think Davante Adams... Yeah, he's top seven for targets.
That's the low end of it, though. I think he sees more targets than a Keenan Allen. I think that he can see more targets than Julio.
I don't see Allen, but I see your point. He's right there. I mean, he's that could be those number of targets could be in the single digits that separate them. So we're talking, we're starting to split hairs a little bit, but nonetheless. It was, I'm looking at their target share last year, 117, Cobb had 92, Jordy at 88, Geronimo Allison 39, and on and on and on. They didn't really have a tight end. Their tight ends combined for 73 targets, so that I could see Jimmy Graham sucking up a lot of those 73, right? He could be a 65-target kind of guy, maybe even more. It depends how healthy Jimmy Graham is. What's interesting to me, and I thought of it as Joe was talking, it makes what Tony Gonzalez did and even Antonio Gates to some extent all the more impressive because these super athletic tight ends that are the physical freaks of the NFL, I put that in quotes because there's a lot of them out there, they get beat up brutally. Gronk and Jimmy Graham, Gronk is not even 30 yet, I don't think. And Jimmy Graham's 31, and these guys are they're ready to go. I appreciate that they're still hanging in there. And Gronk is the best tight end talent in the history of the NFL. But it is amazing to see how what, because it takes so much to get them down on the ground and to cover them and get beat up by other really physically athletic guys every week. It just really takes a toll. It's sort of sad because they're not, you know, they're just past their 30th birthday in one case.
Yeah, I think that Jimmy Graham could have a fantastic season. I really do. I just wanted to quickly, because I see we're coming up against the clock, mention that running back situation that he was talking about and something that I was going to ask him, but it's too much of a what-if that I didn't want to bother. I'll ask you, if this team added DeMarco Murray, how high would you potentially be on him? If not now, after this whole retirement business, but if they would have made that move in, say, free agency, would that have been something you would have been interested in, no. Rather? Because I still feel like the running back situation here is very meh.
Oh, it's a committee. It's a straight-up committee. I think I wanted to get to the heart of it with Montgomery because people talk more about Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams now than they do Montgomery. So that's why I wanted to ask that question. But he's the 44th running back off the board, for example, and Jones is, give me a second, I'll get there. He's the 41st running back, and then Williams is behind them, so they're being drafted really late. We'll come back, we'll wrap up that, and then see if we got Robert Zisklinski from the Bears on the phone. So it's Mike and Kevin on FST back right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Good stuff from Sean Engel producing today. We'll do some reads way behind. When you want to win your fantasy football league, you simply must go to the very best source of information you can find. And that is rotoexperts.com senior writer Jake Seely. It's an undisputable fact. No other fantasy football analyst in the industry is a better player ranker and accuracy expert than the All-In Kid. In 2017, Jake Seely was the number one draft accuracy ranker in the entire industry as verified by fantasypros.com and has been a consistent top three ranker throughout his distinguished career. If you want to be the best, go with the best. Get Jake Seely's 2018 fantasy football rankings now in the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package. Enter promo code WINNER, W-I-N-N-E-R, at checkout for a special discount. So, what did I want to do? Oh, let me just do the targets first because you're talking about targets and we forgot a couple of guys. So DeAndre Hopkins led the league last year with 175, tied for second Larry Fitzgerald and Antonio Brown with 162. So we didn't mention Fitz. Jarvis Landry, 160. Obviously that'll probably take a hit on the Browns offense, but Dolphins offense wasn't great last year. Keenan Allen with 159. Julio, Michael Thomas, AJ Green, Adam Thielen, Demaryius Thomas, Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, Travis Kelce, Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, then Devontae Adams. He was 17th in targets. But, you know, if he had five more targets, he's in the top 12. But, again, you would have to push it up. If the numbers repeat this year, he'd have to receive 43 more targets to make the top five.
It's nothing.
So
he missed two games, and Rodgers is back. Yeah, that's nothing.
It's a lot. It's a big percentage. When you're playing percentages, he needs a third of he needs a 33% increase.
With two extra games and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, that's nothing.
I disagree. It is a lot when we're talking about projecting numbers. It is a lot to expect a 33% increase in his number of targets.
But the 33% is disingenuous when he only played 14 games.
All right, so add those two games to it. And is week 17 going to mean anything? And it doesn't for fantasy owners, by the way, but is week 17 going to mean anything? Does he play in that game? So let's just call him. Can I just call him 15 games for a compromise? I'll give him 12 targets in that game. So there he's at 129. The offense can push it up What do you say?
I mean, he was also
20%. So 130, add 26 to that. We're at 156. That's a lot. It's getting close to the number that you want, and it's still not there. So
he's at sixth. He's at sixth then. What are we talking about here?
It's still not top five, buddy. I'm just what we do here.
But now, like, it's we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and we're talking about there are people that have left. Like, Jordy wasn't there. That increase is
not. I gave him a whole bunch of targets. I just gave him, like, 30 extra targets. I gave him 30, almost 40 more. I'm just telling you, those numbers are big, and I need that offense to be really, really good. I need it to be a top five offense. Or just an aggressive pushing of the ball to DeAndre Hopkins like the Texans do. They don't have to do that in Green Bay. They don't have to. They do have three wide receivers in Jimmy Graham and Randall Cobb. And I just talked about how much I like Randall Cobb. I love Davante Adams this year. I really think he's going to be – I can't call him a breakout star because he's already had that. But I think he's a top 10 wide receiver. In fact, I think we just went through it. He's probably a top 7 for me. But – you're saying top five targets. I probably have him outside of that, which is why he's not in my top five receivers, for example. Yeah. But still, I'm not denigrating him. I'm just making a point.
So we're making a bit of a friendly handshake bet then that he ends up top five, as long as he plays 15 games.
Sure. Well, I don't know what the bet. I don't know what the bet is. As long as he plays, he has to play 15 games for this to kick in.
Yeah, if he plays 15 games, he's top five because that's what the that's.
So if he doesn't, so if he only plays 14 games, the bet is off.
We can then do the trajectory. If he plays 14 games, what he was going to finish only with 18th in targets, then you get your dollar.
Yeah, handshake. Good. I say he just doesn't make top five targets. It's not to say that he won't be really valuable. Let's talk. We don't have anybody from the Bears right now, so we have not talked about the Vikings. We need to get to them. Do we have enough time? Yeah, let's do the Vikings right now.
I want to ask you a question quickly with the Vikings.
And we'll do the Bears at the top of the hour.
Because you can help me here with just something that I've asked myself, and maybe I don't need to. Your feelings with Diggs and Thielen and the outlook for the both of them. I know that people felt like they both had potential, but they were both superstar, could be a stretch, but star wide receivers last season. Do you find that to be something that is repeatable and very real?
Yeah, I do. I think there's going to be question marks. Like, I think Case Keenum played really well last year. I think there's a whole new group of people there, and could it go sideways for a portion of the season because they have to get used to Cousins, and Cousins has to get used to Minnesota and the coaching staff and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, I think that could be an issue because Shurmur's not there anymore. Obviously, he's coaching in New York. So that's your concerns, but I don't have particular concerns about Adam Thielen. We should also note that they were missing Dalvin Cook, so they could rely a little bit more heavily on the run this year with Dalvin Cook in there ostensibly for. I haven't heard much about him for week one. You know, I haven't heard that status update. Everything seems to be pointing that way, but he did get hurt in the middle of the year last year. So
it was early, no? It was like week four.
It was like the week three or four.
Yeah.
In fact, let me take a look at it.
Yeah, he played four games.
Yeah, so in the middle, I say in the middle of the season, I mean, the season was ongoing. He didn't get hurt in preseason. It's going to be less than 12 months when they kick off on week one. So while guys come back much more aggressively from ACL injuries than they did previously, it doesn't mean that Dalvin Cook's 100% when he takes the field in week one. So that has to be
factored 12?
In.
Is it 12 months? Because Wentz is targeting week one. Watson was also later targets. Wentz is the only one of the people that we just mentioned that I've heard. I'm not sure if he plays week one. Jason Peters, despite his age, everyone's like, oh, he'll be there. So and I know it used to be like, I remember it would be like, all right, we won't see him for a year.
Wentz is unique because they have a huge security blanket, you know? There's very few guys like Jason Peters. They don't really have a security blanket for their left tackle, and Dalvin Cook is the man now. They have a decent security blanket there, though. It's not like Murray can't run with it for a couple of weeks, but I think they're just eager to have him out there because they know that he's their, you know, he's their meal ticket for to a dynamic running game. I just don't expect it right out of the gate. It could just start off a little bit slow. It doesn't mean he's going to be terrible. It just could start off a little slower than people might like. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could. I don't know. Everything says that he's going to be healthy. I think one thing that I don't know if people are questioning, but Pat Shurmur left. Eagles quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo comes over and now is the OC here with the Vikings. So that's in, you know, could it leave him in the middle? Is it a downgrade? Is it an adjustment? You know, it's tough to tell. And it also, I mean, really the big question though, right, with everything, Mike, is Kirk Cousins. And what does that mean for everybody else? We know that Case Keenum found that rapport with Adam Thielen and that was his guy. You know, we know about Kirk Cousins that he's going to love his tight end. Kyle Rudolph got a ton of love last year. 8 touchdowns, 81 targets, caught 57 passes for 532 yards. So he should be in for at least that type of season, likely again with Kirk Cousins coming over. Whether he prefers a Stephon Diggs or an Adam Thielen, I think that he could love both of them. I think there was a good gap between them last year in number of targets, 143 for Thielen. Diggs seen 95. I don't know, maybe that gap could close a little bit. Perhaps we did see Diggs miss a little bit of time, miss 2 games. So that could be part of that as well. And then, you know, you mentioned the run game. This offensive line didn't grade out really that well, but there is some talent there. I think that that's one of the questions. You know, was Pat Shurmur scheming around a poor offensive line, or maybe they are just a little bit better than what the numbers show? Was Keenum just, you know, good getting the ball out? So that's one of the questions I do have with this football team.
So, by the way, the Packers running backs, which we talked about before the break, just as a quick aside, they're all being drafted in the 40s, all three of them. So, based on our discussion with Joe, I think Montgomery might be the guy that you want. Some people are expecting Williams and or Jones to take over that job. I think you just have to approach it like a committee, and I like Montgomery's ability in PPR leagues to catch the ball, certainly a lot more than those other guys. To your Kirk Cousins point, right now he's the 8th quarterback off the board. He's behind, here's the list, Rodgers, Watson, Brady, Wilson, Wentz, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Stafford, Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger. Since I am waiting on QBs so often, I don't target one guy in particular. So if I have to pay up for Kirk Cousins, I'm not going to do that at all. If he falls to me, you know what? I could see Kirk Cousins being on my hedge team because he's not one of the guys I really want. Do you know what I mean? Like, if Brees and Cousins are going around the same time, I'm going to make sure I get Brees. And if I don't get him, I'm going to wait. I'll let somebody else take Cousins. That's just my opinion on things, because there's plenty of other guys, and I've said this time and time again, and I can see their ADPs climbing up as we're talking about this, but Roethlisberger's 12, Ryan, Goff is 13, Ryan is 14, Rivers 16. I can wait all day on those guys and still get them. You notice how those guys are creeping up as we've talked about it? Because you can tell the drafts have shifted these guys up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Goff and Ryan and Rivers were a couple of picks back. Now they're creeping up ever so slightly. So that's how I feel about Cousins. But Thielen's my number one wideout on my Scott Fishbowl team, and I was sort of happy about that. He caught 91 balls last year, I believe. I just want to double check that. And I do. He caught 91 balls, 1276, only 4 touchdowns last year. So touchdown variance is always a thing. But even if he caught 85 balls, he caught 2 more touchdowns. I'm home on the projection repeating itself for this year with a more talented quarterback. Again, there's a lot of moving pieces there, but I'm in on Thielen. I love Stephon Diggs too, and I'll tell you where he's going. But go ahead. I'll let you comment as I'm looking up.
Well, I wanted to just, to your point, though, I'm not. Why would you take Brees over Cousins? Last year, Cousins outscored Brees at the quarterback position. I mean, Brees is still he's a great quarterback. But fantasy-wise, it was certainly a down season for him. And Cousins now goes to I think what would be easily, undeniably a better situation, certainly better players around him. I think you could make the argument he's got better surrounding pieces than what they've got there in New Orleans. So are you sure about that?
Separated by 15 points last year. Not super concerned about it. It's less than a point a week. And I'm going to trust Breeze as much as they've gone towards a more balanced offense. He's a much more known commodity to me than Cousins is in a new city, in a new offense, and the whole thing. I just do like the volume that Thielen can see. I think the guy that could be impacted negatively is probably Diggs, because we have to see how good. Let me see where he resides at the 14th pick overall. So Thielen at 11, Diggs at 14. That would mean a very high-powered offense. And I don't know if they're going to be there. I'll give you some stats from last year. Just, you know, in some ways, you have to throw this out, right? New offensive coordinator, new quarterback, and the whole thing. But why did this always happen? But I'm trying to get their numbers from last year.
I have them right in front of me.
Statistics.
Thielen had 91 catches, so 143 targets.
Yeah, those I got. Yeah. Go ahead.
He had 1,200 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Diggs, 64 balls, caught 95 targets, 849 yards, 8 touchdowns. So the
huge gap, right? Huge gap in targets.
Huge. No, absolutely. Now Diggs, again, he did miss the two games. So I don't know if, like, his two game absence lowers his number and potentially raises Thielen's number. But even then, it still would have been 30 some odd targets in between them had he not missed those two games, likely. So, and I do think the one interesting thing was Diggs doubling up Thielen's touchdown total.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a variance, though, right? I can see Diggs is a more explosive player, so he can make some of those longer plays. You know, Thielen, I love his consistency. He caught every game, he caught at least 5 passes except for 3. So 13 of the 16, he didn't catch 5 passes. And I remember he was a little banged up towards the end of the year as well. So maybe that contributed as well at the end of the year. But nonetheless, we have some pretty good numbers here. That would just mean a really high-powered offense, right? If Thielen was the 11th wide receiver and Diggs was 14th, that would mean a lot of balls going around.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It didn't
end up that way last year. As good as they both were, it didn't end up that way last year. Thielen was top 10, but Diggs was a wide receiver too. And that's how I could see it shaking out pretty similarly. Thielen's just got great hands. Gets open really well. He's got great hands. I think Cousins could be really good in the intermediary to Thielen.
I think Diggs can work in that area as well. I think that he can fall in love with one of them, but I know he's going to love Rudolph. I think the question becomes, is Pat Shurmur to DeFilippo a downgrade? Does it leave him average? And then the other question is, how much better is Cousins than Case Keenum? I think that that's kind of where you'll find your answers of just how high-powered this offense could be from a team perspective, because again, you know, we're coming up close to the break. Last time we saw this defense, Nick Foles made them look like an ACC defense. Any concerns with them? They were the best team in the football last year, and until they played that game, it looked exactly to be the case. They add Sheldon Richardson, they should be pretty darn good.
I reject your ACC comparison. You should have said Big 12. Is really the apt comparison there as an ACC.
If an ACC defense played the Eagles, they'd give up 97 points.
That's obvious, but I reject your comparison because it really should have been like a Big 12 defense. You're intimating that there's something wrong with ACC.
No, it wasn't. It was just the college conference. Don't be so defensive.
I'm just telling you. Don't be defensive today. So they were the number one defense in the league last year. I think that is a nasty defense. It is one of the defenses to target in fantasy this year. They'll be one of the first ones off the board. I'll see if I can even find it right here before the break. Right now they're the third defense off the board behind the Jags and the Rams. I'd say that's about right. I think they're going to win this division, even if I have question marks about some of the offense. I think they win this division by a game or two. So we'll come back and we'll talk Bears at the top of the hour. It's Mike and Kevin on FST.